Okay, I'm going to call the meeting to order. This is the Board of Finance special meeting on Wednesday, April 28th, 2021. It's 7:01 p.m. and this is a Zoom meeting. First up is roll call and seating of alternates. Present are Ed Edelman, Diane Gagnon, Jesse Samios, Kathy Donahue. Judy Buell called into me and said that she was going to be here 15 to 20 minutes late. And I did also get a phone call or a contact from Nick Brown, who could not make it tonight. And he asked that either Alyssa or Stan Crawford be seated for him. So could I have a motion to seat Stan Crawford for tonight?
I'll make a motion to seat Stan.
Car accident.
Okay, thank you.
Second.
Oh.
Car
accident. Okay. First, who seconded it?
Jessica, Jesse.
Jesse seconded, okay. I'm just gonna go through the roll call. So Ed Edelman?
Aye.
Diane Gagnon?
Aye.
Jesse Samios?
Aye.
And Kathy Donahue, aye. Okay, so Stan is now seated for tonight's meeting. Okay, if citizen comments, are there any other citizen comments? And nobody piping up in chat, or then we should be able to just move on to the presentation of the town audit. I'd like to welcome Stephen Hopkins, our auditor, and take it away, Stephen.
Well, not really sure how detailed you guys want me to be. Sometimes I present them and it's very detailed, and sometimes it's just an overview. And I didn't get any questions beforehand, so if anybody has any as I'm going over a few things, don't hesitate to jump in at any point in time from my point of view. Does everybody have financial statements in front of them?
Yep.
Yes? Okay. So what I would normally do is look at the auditor's report, which is on page one, just to point out a few things about that. And so this is where I report on the financial statements and provide my opinions on the different opinion units of the town. And it's basically the same format as it is every year. The only thing I'll point out, because I haven't presented to you guys in the past, is that there is an adverse opinion on page one as it relates to not including entities that were determined to be component units. So that particular discussion is also on page 20 of the statements in the notes, where it describes the reporting entity of the town and what makes up the reporting entity and in what cases other entities are determined to be component units and why these particular two were. The two that are, for this purpose, the adverse opinion relates to the volunteer fire department and the memorial library. And the parameters and the basis for that determination is outlined on page 20. And if anybody wants to go through that at any point in time and has any specific questions about that, they can certainly jump in. So that is basically the only thing that really stands out in the audit report. All of the other opinion units of the town have unmodified opinions, which is good. That means they're all being accounted for in accordance with the GAAP and presented in accordance with the GAAP. So there's nothing else that I have to highlight there. After the audit report, the financial statements themselves are broken down in between fund financial statements and government-wide. And the fund financial statements is what I'll focus on tonight, because that's the modified accrual basis of accounting, which is how you guys budget and how all municipalities budget. The government-wide statements are more of the accrual basis, which are more to mirror what a business would do, as opposed to municipality. So you have to put them in there. So they're in there, but they're really, in my opinion, don't really serve a great deal of purposes, because that's not how you conduct your business. So I will bypass those sections in the statements unless somebody specifically has a question on them. The government-wide statements start on page 10 with a statement of net position and page 11. So these two pages are designed to make the town and its accounting similar to a business. So Like I said, I'm not going to specifically go over those two because that's not how you do things. And I'll go to the next page, which is page 12, which is your balance sheet. And that breaks out the major funds of the town. And these are the funds that I do an opinion on. Each one of these major funds is an opinion unit. So you're required to have your general fund as a major fund. And then based on certain parameters that are outlined in the notes, you can have other larger funds based on total assets, total liabilities, revenues or expenses, or just the general importance of the fund. So what you guys have had in the past before I got there, and as I've done the audit, we've had a major fund for the small cities program based on its size and significance as its own particular program, and capital non-recurring because of the same type of thing, its size and significance to the town. And then the non-major governmental funds are basically your smaller special revenue funds, the grants that the school gets, on occasion the grants that the town gets, and you have a couple, I think three permanent funds, which are trusts that were given to the town, and those go into that group as well. So that's what makes up those columns. I know I'm going a little fast. Is there any questions that anybody has so far on what I've looked at? No?
No.
Okie dokie then. So, okay. Page 13, I'll just point out what page 13 is. So you page 12 is the balance sheet, which is the first fund financial statement that you have. And this reconciliation on page 13 reconciles the ending fund balance on page 12 to that first government-wide statement on page 10. So there's a map between, I mean, there are two different sets of statements, fund financial and government-wide, and we're required to put in a map to get from one to the other. So this particular reconciliation on page 13 shows all of the things that are accounted for differently between the fund financial statements and the government-wide. So, I mean, it's an interesting reconciliation to look at because if you were just looking at, you know, statement A and statement C, it'd be hard to specifically pick out exactly what all the differences were and why they are. So what I try to put on this reconciliation page is, you know, what am I adjusting for and why, a little brief description of what it is and why I'm doing it. So that allows you to trace back if you wanted to. So then I'll go to page 14, which is in effect the income statement for the fund financial statements of the town. And it once again is in the same exact column format by major funds and opinion units. And it shows the general results of the operations of the town. So if you look down on the third line up from the bottom, the net change in fund balance, that'll show you what the results of all the funds were for this particular fiscal year. And they all had small losses, but they're all understandable losses. I mean, for example, with the general fund, the town did budget to use fund balance to transfer funds into the capital non-recurring fund during the fiscal year. And when you budget to use fund balance, you're in effect budgeting for a loss because you can't show a prior year fund balance as current year revenue. So you voted to use $255,000 of fund balance. So you were really voting for a $255,000 loss, but you only had a $36,000 loss. So that actually is pretty good, even though it's a loss, it's a small loss, and you really expected a bigger one. So those results of operations are, in my opinion, positive for the year, even though it's a negative number. And next, for the small cities program, that particular, the grant pieces of that program are now done. So all that the town will have in the near future going forward, unless there are future grants that come into it, will be the actual revolving loan fund. And the reason that that fund had a loss last year, the biggest reason was a couple of old loans that you had on properties. Those properties were foreclosed on. So the loans were written off. So out of that $35,000 loss, $27,000, you see up in the expenditure section, that was the write-off of those loans, and the remaining amount was the administrative costs. for the firm that manages the CDBG program. The capital non-recurring fund had a loss, but you kind of expect it to have a loss because you had accumulated funds in there that were set aside for expenditure for certain purposes, and you expended them. So that's what that fund is for. You know, you transfer the funds over to fund it, and then you'll expend them. So there'll be always overlap. Some years you'll have a surplus there because you didn't, you know, do all of the programs that you had and the spending that you planned to do during that year. And some years will be the opposite, like this year. So, and then the non-major funds, this is a small loss based on grants, school grants. And there's a section in the back that breaks down all the school grants by each one that they have and the town grants and so forth and so on. So that's the income statement. And next to that on page 15 is once again a reconciliation from these fund financial statements back to the government-wide financial statements. Similar format goes down through and shows what all the types of different activities are that are accounted for differently in both sets of funds and gives you a roadmap back to that statement B. So if you wanted to look at that, that's where it would take you. So then on starting on page 16, 16 through 18 is your budget actual for what you had for the year. It's pretty straightforward. Original budget, transfers, final budget, actual, and variance. So you'll see on page 16 that your budgeted revenue, your actual revenues were $125,246 over your budget, which is a positive variance, which is partially why you didn't have a $255,000 loss. And then when you go to page 18, you'll see the total expenditures were $100,000, the first number down on the right-hand column on the variance. So your expenditures were $100,156 under budgeted. So that meant that your budget in general was $225,402 in the positive compared to what you had budgeted for. So that's plus. And the only thing I'll point out, I mean, they're pretty straightforward. One thing I'll show on page 17, you'll see a subtraction from the elementary education budget of $15,000. And what that is the part of the elementary education budget is an appropriation to the school lunch program, which is a non-major special revenue fund. So in order to have transfers in and transfers out match, I pull that out of the actual elementary budget and I put it down in on the next page as a budgeted transfer out. So that's just a reclassification of a transfer so that inter-fund transfers will balance out and zero out as they're supposed to in fund financial statements. I'll stop for a second again and see if anybody has any questions or specific items they want to talk about on those pages. All right, and then I'll go on to page 19 is just simply, you know, you have certain fiduciary funds that the town has. The private purpose trust funds, those are two trust funds that were given to the town to hold, and I believe they were for an ambulance and a fire reserve, if I remember correctly, yeah, volunteer fire company trust and an ambulance corp trust. So those are given to the town, and the interest earned on those is transferred at the end of each fiscal year, or really the beginning of July after the fiscal year has ended, to those entities. And the principal portion of those is the $50,000 that were given, so it's $25,000 to each, and that principal can't be used for anything. And I believe at the end of the fiscal year, because the town, I believe you guys changed your ambulance service, and so one of these trusts now was paid back or given back to either the ambulance corp or the person who gave it. It was after the end of the fiscal year, and I don't know off the top of my head, but one of those private purpose trusts went away, paid back to, I think they were bequests from someone's will.
Yes,
and if the town changed the way they were doing.
And then when the ambulance no longer existed, the bequests transferred to the library, the funds from that transferred to the library. They were transferred to the library.
Okay, sounds about right. So one of those will go away this year, this upcoming year. The agency fund is simply the student activity funds that are over at the school in that checking account. And then we go into notes, and I mean, there's nothing specific in the notes that I wanted to point out. It's basically a description of the accounting policies and procedures that the town has in preparing statements. These are your statements, so these outline how your statements are prepared and how you account for specific items within the statements. Page 28, I'll point that out. That gives a detailed breakdown of the specific funds that make up the different fund balance categories within each opinion unit. So that might be helpful if you're tracing back from, you go back to the balance sheet and you see, you know, within the capital non-recurring fund, a committed fund balance of $516,000, and say to yourself, well, geez, what the heck's that made up of? This particular note will tell you what it's made up of. And so that's helpful if you are looking for those things. And then we go forward, and there's a lot of notes that are required to be put in the statements. On page 30, we have a note for restricted cash and investments. So that this is on one of the government-wide financial statements, the statement of net position. You record a restricted cash and restricted investment amount. So this tells you what that's made up of. You know, the next page we have required investment footnotes telling you the maturities and years and credit ratings of things as are required. And then we go into page 32 and you have a description of transfers in and transfers out and due to, due froms within the fund financial statement. So once again, you go back to the balance sheet and you'll see these numbers of due to, due from, and you may ask yourself, well, what the heck is that made up of? What does it mean? This particular schedule is designed to show you who owes who what and, in a general sense, why. And similar to the bottom section where it shows what the transfers are, you know, in the income statement, in the bottom of that, you're seeing one lump sum number for transfers in and one lump sum number for transfers out per fund. And this will tell you where they were going and a general description of what they were for. And then on page 33, we have your capital assets and long-term debt. Both of these are related to the government-wide financial statements. They're not items that you would normally account for as normal activity in the fund financial statements, but you have to have this note to show the detail or some of the limited detail of what the backup is. So, I mean, the only real piece of debt that the town has are two note payables that were for energy lighting retrofits, efficiency upgrades. So, and those are non-interest bearing principal only loans. So that goes through that. And then we start on page 35. It talks about town benefit plans, the simple IRA plan that you have. And then it goes forward on page 36. Then it gets into the required notes for the teacher's retirement system plan that you have. And then there's a pension plan for the teacher retirement. Then there's also a other post-employment benefit, which starts on page 38, which is basically life insurance for individuals in the teacher's retirement system. So we are required to put, there is no liability to the town. There's no portion of liability for the town for either one of those plans, but you still have to disclose the notes about the plans. And then on page 40, the relates to the school retirees that are allowed to be on the health plan. And because they're allowed to be in the health plan, it's called another post-employment benefit as well, because they're allowed to get that benefit. And you have to have this no disclosure because, you know, based on the scale of younger and older people in plans, older people have a tendency to drive up the cost based on experience ratings, and the younger people drive it down. So because of these individuals being in there and blended and having the ability to have it, it creates a liability that is an accounting liability only. It's not anything that you're ever going to have to pay, but they've come up with formulas of how to record it. and disclose it. So that is that. It's a very dry topic, so I'm not going to spend too much time on it. Page 43 talks about maintenance agreements and other types of agreements that both the town and the Board of Ed have entered into as of June 30th that go beyond the end of the fiscal year's commitments. So there's a second footnote on the page is for school ones, and the third footnote is for town agreements. And then it goes into, on page 44 and 45, accounting standards that have been issued but are not effective yet. Some of those will affect you and some of them won't. Put them all on there as they come out, just so that you have an awareness of what is out there and what may not affect you. Page 46 and page 47, and actually page 48. Those are required supplementary information in relation to those pension plans and that for the Connecticut Teachers Retirement System I talked about earlier. And then on page 48, that's the health insurance available to retirees plan. And that's required information that you're supposed to put in the notes. On page 49, that's where we get into the, when I talked about the balance sheet and income statement, we had particular columns for funds, and one of those funds was an other non-major governmental funds. And this is the back section where it tells you the detail of what makes those up. So on page 49, it's saying, you know, you have special revenue funds and permanent funds that make up that balance. And then as you go to the next page, now it breaks down all the special revenue funds that make up that portion. That's page 50 and 51. And each has a description above it to tell you what it is. And then on page 52 are the permanent funds that make up that balance as well. So those two schedules in the back are tying back to those columns on the balance sheet and the income statement to give you the detail of what make them up, if you're ever interested to look at that. And then on page 53, there's the schedule, the combining schedule for the private purpose trust, the two trusts, the volunteer fire company, ambulance corp, that I talked about this in the beginning. So that if you had more, obviously we'd have more columns, but this gives the reader detailed information of what makes it up. And then on page 54, we have, I basically included two columns for the CDBG program because you did have limited activity on the last grant that was outstanding. And that's what the first column is. And then the second column is the program income, basically the revolving loan fund. So in next year's statements, you wouldn't need the first column because all that would be left would be the actual revolving loan fund. So this particular schedule wouldn't be necessary next year. And then the next schedule on page 55 is your breakdown of your activity for your capital non-recurring fund by the category that you guys have set up in your appropriations and what you keep track of and what you put money aside for. So, you know, it goes to the beginning balance, what you appropriate and transfer, your revenues and expenditures, and your ending balance, which would tie back to the balance sheet and the income statement once again. And the next two pages, 56 and 57, is just a required schedule for tax collections by tax year. And one thing that I add on page 57 is that little reconciliation right there in the middle of that page in the bottom, near the bottom, because this schedule is designed on a cash basis, and your statements aren't on a cash basis. They're on a modified accrual basis. So if you were ever looking at this tax collection schedule, you know, you'd see all these different revenue types up here and say to yourself, well, these numbers don't tie back to what I have in the front of the financial statements on my income statement as tax revenue. Why not? So this reconciliation takes you back to that section. And so you can tie it out and what makes up the number. So that is that. And then, of course, on the next page, 58, is the debt limitation schedule, which really doesn't affect you guys at all because, like I said, you have two small note payables, so you're not even close to any debt limitation amount. So that's a great position for you guys to be in because you don't have debt. You don't have a needed debt. So that's great. Page 59 is the internal control report that you have. Page 61 is the internal control finding that was included in last year's statements. I'll just say it's related to the bucket truck. I guess probably that's really all you have to say. Everyone's aware of that. So that went down through, you know, my analysis of the situation and the statute and what happened and a description of how things were recorded and why they shouldn't have been done that way. And the view on page 63, that section, the views of responsible officials, that was written by Kathy and Alan, I believe. So that was your response, which is supposed to be your response. And a lot of times towns just, you know, say, we'll just put in a boiler response. You know, we understand, blah, blah, blah. But you guys did a nice job this year and actually wrote a response to it. So that was great. And then the stuff in the back is just simply the state compliance section where you have a schedule of state expenditures and the required disclosures about testing and major programs and all of those things that are required. I can go over them in more detail if you want or if you have specific questions. But in general, those are your financial statements. And is there anything that anybody came up with or thought they wanted to talk about more or had a question on?
Does anybody have any questions?
I have a question. The first items you mentioned, the I don't have the right designation, but when you talked about the fire department and the library being in a separate category or whatever,
yeah,
and that things should be done a little bit differently regarding them. Am I correct that it's not that they've done anything wrong. This is probably just a different way of sort of accounting or having their information on file in a different manner. Is that it?
Right. It has nothing to do with anybody, with them doing anything wrong. When you talk about component units, you're talking about a legally separate entity from the town that meets certain parameters based on whether it's fiscal dependence or boards or budgeting or just the general relationship of the two entities. So, for example, a volunteer fire department, you know, every audit that I do, I've never seen a volunteer fire department that hasn't been considered a component unit simply because in most cases, the towns, they buy the fire trucks or the ambulances or the buildings. They provide the big infrastructure purchases for the volunteer fire department to basically provide fire department activities to the town. So the relationship of those two are such that in a perfect world, they are attached and they are connected based on what one does for the other and what the other does for the one. So if they were to open the books, so a component, if you wanted the finding out, then what would happen is the volunteer fire department would provide their books for the audit. And there would be one column added to the statement A and one column added to statement B. And those would be the only places that their financial information is shown. And I can give you one example because I do the audit for the town of Lebanon. And if you ever wanted to see how a component unit is included, they have a volunteer fire department as well. And they open their books and they put those on their statements. And it shows exactly how it would be shown in their statement. So if you ever wanted an example of it, but I kind of gone off on a tangent there, but back to your original question, no, there's nothing that they've done wrong. It's just a determination that the town has made that these two entities meet a certain accounting definition. And once you meet that accounting definition, the information, the financial information should be shown in your statements. They're shown in separate columns, so they're not combined with your numbers, but they are shown next to your numbers. So all that qualification in your audit report is saying is that financial information wasn't included. That's all.
And does that answer your question, Ed?
Yes, it does. Thank you.
Does anyone else have any other questions for Stephen? Stan, outstanding report, clearly explained. Thank you for your time. That's from our member Stan Crawford. Yep. The explanation was wonderful as far as going through page by page to give a better understanding of the audit report. Does anybody else have anything?
Yeah, and if anybody has any, if you have any other questions outside of this, you're always, as Board of Finance members, you're always welcome to email me a question whenever you have anything. So just remember that, and you know, in the future, that's, you know, I'm always available for questions.
That's great. Thank you. Okay, hearing no other questions, I guess we're done with the audit presentation. And thank you, Stephen, for attending and giving us a quality report and a better understanding of the audit as a whole.
Well, have a good night, everybody.
Good night.
Bye. Night.
Okay, now we'll move on to item number 5, approval of minutes of March 10th and April 14th. So I'll make March 10th first. Can I have a motion for the approval of minutes of March 10th, 2021?
So moved.
And
Edelman, so moved.
A second, this is Stan.
Dan Crawford, seconds. Okay, taking a look at these, are there any changes or additions that anybody has?
I had a change in one of the account numbers. I gave you the incorrect account number for one of the transfers.
Okay, what page?
It should be the planning and zoning officer, which is account 6010-01, and I incorrectly put 6006-01. The account name is correct, the account number is not. So I don't know if that's critical, but I did notice that.
Okay, thank you.
Excuse me, what's the correct number again?
It should be 6010-01, the planning and zoning enforcement officer, not 6006-01. That's the wrong number. Sorry about that.
Thank you. Are there any others? Okay, I have one also. It's on page 3, Dana. Under the new business A, approval of suspensus, I would just like to add a little more definition to the Board of Finance's statutory requirement to approve the outstanding motor vehicle and personal property bills. For the suspension list. And does anyone have anything else? Okay. Hearing nothing else, call the vote. Ed Edelman?
Aye.
Judy Buell? Judy's here.
Aye.
Thanks, Judy. Diane Agnew?
Aye.
Jessica Samios?
Aye.
Kathy Donahue? Aye. And Stan Crawford?
Aye.
Thank you, Stan. Okay, moving on to the next set of minutes. Can I have a motion to approve the April 14th, 2021 minutes?
So moved.
And moved by Diane
Gagner.
Can I have a second, please?
Jessica Samuel, second.
Okay, same thing. Are there any additions or corrections to these minutes from anyone?
I have one correction, Kathy.
Okay, go ahead.
Under the approval of minutes, March 3rd special meeting, where it says Jessie Samios noted she contacted abatement contract. I did not. I actually contacted Bonnie Cardwell from the library with an offer to contact abatement contractors after she was going to let me know who she had already contacted. And I never heard back from Bonnie. So I don't know if they shopped around, but the correction is just I had offered to help Bonnie and never heard back from her.
Anyone else, any other corrections? I just have one little one that I think is a typo. Under old business on page 3, Dana, the amount is $205,930, not $939 in personal property and real estate. And then it should be an exemptions at the end of that. And And are there any others? You all set, Dana?
Yes.
Okay. Hearing none other, I will call vote. Ed Edelman?
Aye.
Judy Buell? Judy Buell?
Oh. Aye.
Diane Gagnon?
Aye.
Jessica Samuels? I think that's an aye.
Aye.
Just took a minute to come through. Stan Crawford?
Aye.
I abstain.
Stan is abstaining?
I was out of town.
Okay, thank you. And then Kathy Donahue and I vote aye also. Okay, moving on to the next is review and approval of the Board of Finance contribution to the 2018-19-20 annual report. Dana resent this out. I believe everybody received it and hopefully had time to review it. And are there any changes or additions you want to recommend for this? Hearing none. The only thing that I would like, Dana, we had talked about the second paragraph. Well, I guess on the second page, first paragraph, a committee was established to develop fiscal policies and procedures for officials to follow. I'd just like to add with representation from the Board of Selectmen, Treasurer's Office, and Board of Finance. And that was really, thank you. I know that you went through the minutes and I thought you did an excellent job on this.
I have one comment.
Okay, go ahead.
I just wanted to say that as a new member on the committee or on the board, this report was incredibly as a historical report of what happened last year. So I appreciate it.
Okay, so hearing no other changes, I'm going to call the vote on this. I guess I need a motion.
Kathy, did someone make a motion?
Yeah, that's why I just said I need a motion first. So can I have a motion for the approval of the...
So move. Jesse Samuels.
Okay, second.
Ed Edelman, second.
Okay.
Edelman, second.
Yep. As presented with changes... just because I added that little bit of language. Is that okay with both of the people that made the motion? Yes? Okay, I'm getting odds of yes.
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 Okay, next is all the vote. Ed Edelman?
Aye.
Judy Buell?
Kathy, I think this is the one I wasn't at. I'd like to abstain.
Okay. Yeah, this was something that went around to everybody. I think the meeting you weren't at was the previous minutes one.
Okay. Then I got them backwards. Sorry.
Okay.
Aye.
And we can correct that. This is just, you know, we review the report and we approve it and make any changes that we feel are necessary. Diane Gagnon?
Aye.
Jessica Samuels?
Aye.
Stan Crawford?
Aye.
Thank you, Stan. And Kathy Donahue? Aye. The meeting that you missed, if you want a correction on that, it was, let me take a look at the top listing. Present. It was the April 14th one, I believe. Dana, is that correct? Yeah.
I can just add that she abstained. It's okay.
Yeah, you can
add. She meant to abstain. Edit. Yeah. Okay.
Yes. As far as approving the minutes. Okay, that's it for tonight's agenda, except for citizens' comments. Are there any other comments? Okay.
Could I just ask what the next step is with the annual report and because the Board of Finance is supposed to provide oversight of it. It's your document. And up until last year, I proofed it. And last year that was taken out of my hands. And there was somebody who had asked me to amend their report, knowing that it was my job to proof, and I never got a chance to proof. And consequently, that person's report went in. Anyway, let me know whether or not you expect me to proof. It doesn't take a long time. There's usually a dozen errors and easy enough to fix, but I think it's supposed to be done for the town meeting whenever that might be.
Yes, yeah, it is supposed to be done for the town meeting. And yes, I would like you to proof it. I believe they're being submitted to Donna. I'm not sure whether she has them all yet or not. Some of them are submitted to us also with the budget request, but you can check with her. And yes, I would like you to proof it as a whole. That would be great. And I guess that's it for tonight. And I want to thank everybody for coming tonight. And I would like a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn, Diane Gagnon.
And seconding?
Jesse Samuel, second.
Okay. All those in favor can give me a thumbs up or yes. By hand?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you, everyone, and have a good night. The meeting is adjourned.
Good night.
Good night. Good night.